This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, gather around. It's America's family hour of worship. Please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16, verse 14, where we left off last time. John, chapter 16, verse 14. Just before we begin, I want to thank all of you who are calling and leaving your messages on my voicemail. I love you. And it's just such a precious thing that you call and tell me you love my show. And those of you who request prayer, I am praying for you. So keep those calls coming, and I love you. Welcome to my family. Welcome to my heart. I also want to invite all of you to come each Sunday to my school, 5 p.m. for more of this wonderful book, chapter, verse, line-by-line teaching. And then I open the healing bench and pray for the sick and the demonically oppressed and whatever ails you. Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida. Those of you who are listening all over America, get on an airplane and come down. Sundays, 5 p.m., Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida. You will be blessed. And now for John chapter 16, verse 14. In the last few chapters, Jesus has been preparing his beloved disciples for his departure. He's about to walk out and allow himself to be arrested and crucified and die on a painful cross, shed his blood for the remission of sins. And so he's been encouraging them. But he told them last time, "But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit." And then he told us that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And we had a wonderful teaching about Holy Spirit. We find that the Holy Spirit will sing through us. We're not talking about singing like singing a song, but he'll sing to notation of music, a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge. And the Holy Spirit prays through us. And then last time we learned that the Holy Spirit gives gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 9 gifts to help you serve the Lord. And he gives them to whom he will, when he will, and how he will. And they are, we learned last week, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of faith, discernment of spirits, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of working of miracles, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, he's still talking about the Holy Spirit as we begin today. 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, Jesus says to the disciples, the Holy Spirit is going to take what I have and give it unto you. He's going to pull out of me what I am and give it unto you. And so what is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Chapter 1, verse 1 of this chapter. So he says the Holy Spirit will take the Word, and he will give it to you, disciples. Now, I want to say that anybody ever sharing the Word in one-on-one witnessing, in teaching or preaching or any kind of a thing, what you want to know and make sure that the Holy Spirit anoints that Word. See, the Word of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit fire, gets the job done. And that's the Holy Spirit's. That's his function. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. He's doing it now. Thank you.
15, all things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you.
Jesus wants to reassure them that Father approves of this, because Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. We both have the Word, and we're going to give it to you so you can go to all the world and preach the gospel, the truth of God's Word.
16, so while, and ye shall not see me, And again, a little while, and you shall see me.
Now, as we're going to see by the next few verses, they'll say, what is he talking about? They have been with Jesus 3 years, and they still don't quite get it because they've seen him avoid being killed, and they know he doesn't have to die. So what's he talking about? We're going to see him in a little while, and then we're not going to see him. Listen to them. They did not understand. We'll play a few of those verses.
Because I go to the Father. 17, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us?
What's he talking about?
A little while shall ye not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. 18, they said therefore, what is this that he saith?
Now, I'm going to tell you what he was saying to them. He meant, in a few hours, you're going to see me give up the ghost on a cross, and you're going to see me say, it is finished. You're going to see them take my brutally beaten body and put it in a tomb, and you're going to see that that body lies there 3 days and three nights. But then after 3 days and three nights, since you have not seen me, you're going to see me again because I'm going to arise from the dead and I'm going to walk into a room where you are and you're going to put your hands in my side and see me. Now, he moves it on. Jesus always talks third level. However, I'm only going to stay with you then and you'll see me a little while for 40 days. And 40 in biblical numerics is probation testing. I'm going to let everybody test me to prove that I've arisen from the dead and that I am alive. I'm going to walk with you on the road to Emmaus. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go fishing with you. I'm going to cook fish breakfast for you. But after 40 days, I am going to ascend back to my Father, and then you'll see me and you don't see me again. But just before I go back to my Father, so you can't see me, I'm going to tell you to wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And so they waited 10 days. 40 days, Jesus showed himself resurrected. 40 and 10 is 50 Pentecost. And Acts 2 of the day of Pentecost, remember Jesus says, I'm coming back to you? Okay. Here comes a mighty rushing wind. Now remember, Jesus has ascended back. Hush-shum! The Holy Ruach. And it filled the room. Oh, Holy Spirit, Ruach, fill the room. Fill the air spaces now. And then, that was Jesus. Remember, Jesus is God, and God is the fire, consuming fire. A cloven tongue of fire sat on every head in that upper room. And oh, hallelujah, Jesus was there. Jesus was far more present in the cloven tongues of fire in the baptism of the Holy Spirit than he was in person. See, all of you say, I want to see Jesus. I want to see him in the flesh. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got more of Jesus than you could ever have in the flesh. Amen. He is the fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Now, what they also do not know is that first time when they put him in the tomb and they don't see him, they don't know that Jesus is doing covert activity. See, right now, behind the scenes, God is working on your behalf if you're dedicated and called. You don't feel that way. You don't see it. But he's working. He's getting the right people. He's opening up the right place for you, and he's doing that. 1 Peter 3 and then 1 Peter 4 says that while Jesus' body was in the tomb, Jesus went to the prison, the holding place, Luke 16, and preached to all of those souls who had gone on before, all the way back to Noah. And he said, hey, Satan, I'm a knocking at your door. Let my people go. And so he preached to them, hey, I've just paid your sin debt. Would you like to be set free? And 1 Peter 4 says he led captivity captive. So see, when it seems like Jesus is not there and all is dead, he's working behind the scenes. So I'm telling you, your bad, bad's going to turn to glad, glad. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A little while. We cannot tell what he's saying.
They said, we don't understand what you're saying, Jesus. Now remember, I gave you a preview. I just told you.
19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves what I have said?
Jesus realized that they were ashamed that they didn't understand. They were supposed to be good scholars, but they just didn't get this.
A little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and you shall see me?
They didn't want to ask. Sometimes when a teacher's explained something so beautifully to you, have you ever felt, I don't want to ask that again? I can always tell all of you, ask me as many times as you need to. I don't get impatient.
Verse 20, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy.
Weeping tarrieth but a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Well, when they see Jesus crucified, they're going to just grieve. They love him. They their whole lives, they've given up everything for him. And it looks like this is the end. They're going to cry. The world will rejoice. Satan's children, the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the descendants of Cain. Cain being the child of the devil when Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. They will say, crucify him, crucify him. They will laugh. And Satan himself will laugh because he thinks at last he's killed Messiah and now he can be God. See, it was not our beloved brother Judah who said, crucify him. Judah gets a bad rap. It was those who say they are Judah, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, the Kenites. And so they were glad, but the disciples were sad. But he said, your joy will come, because once they saw him resurrected, what a joyous, happy morning. Now, I want to say to you, sometimes you weep. Sometimes it's sad. Don't get discouraged. Wait on the Lord, and he's going to make your heart glad again. You'll rejoice again. You'll laugh again. You'll sing again. You'll dance again.
21, a woman, when she had begun to travail.
Now he's going to speak in his best talent. He's going to give them a parable to try to help them understand.
Because her hour is come.
So he says, okay, a woman's about to have a baby. And I mean, that baby's got to come out. It hurts. Ouch. Oh.
But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For joy that a man is born into the world.
She holds that sweet little cuddly thing and says, goo, goo, goo. And she says to her husband, darling, let's do this again. Let's have another one. See, joy, joy, joy. You forget the pain. I can tell you, you're no good until you've been crushed and beaten and bruised in this world. And all of you is gone except Jesus. And then you're going to have the joy. You know when you're going to have the joy? When you die to yourself and your needs and it's all up for Jesus. Then whatever he wants to do, you let him do, and you don't even get discouraged, because if you're down, he's going to pick you back up. Amen. We are now, we the people of the Church of Jesus Christ in America, we are now travailing in birth. That's why it's so hard. We're pushing, pushing. Oh, come on, baby. We're travailing to get in the next age for Jesus to come back and bring in the next age, and we're travailing in birth. But keep pushing, church, and push by the word of God, and we shall prevail, and the baby shall be born. That baby in you, that calling, that conviction, don't give up. Keep pushing. The baby will be born, and you will reach your destiny. You will achieve your destiny. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again.
See you again. You know how you say somebody, see ya? Well, he will. He did.
And your heart shall rejoice.
Now, I want to say to all of you who have that are saved, first of all, and are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are seeing Jesus. Every time his left hand's under your head, his right hand embraces you. Every time his spirit breathes upon you and you feel that cool rushing wind, that is Jesus. He's with you. He's seeing you. He never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. Once the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, he has never left. And all who are filled with the Holy Spirit have Jesus all the time. He's with you all the time. Do you sometimes tell him to go to his room because what you're doing or where you're going or the people you're having dinner with don't love him and you can't talk about him? I would not go anywhere where I could not take my beloved Lord. He's my husband. I'm not ashamed of him. If I have to go out with people and I can't talk about my beloved, I won't go out with them.
Amen. And your joy no man taketh from you.
Why is he saying that? Your joy no man taketh from you. Okay. These disciples had been being trained to get the Church of Jesus Christ built. He's the build and foundation. But they were to start the church there in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. We are now experiencing that church. The church is not a building. Ecclesia, Greek, the called out ones, set aside ones. So once they received the Holy Spirit and knew that was Jesus, see, if you've never felt that touch, you might not be saved. Honestly, a lot of people go to church are not saved. They just get in the Word and watching the show. But in other words, they knew that Jesus was with them, and that makes you happy. Because when you are called to God, the only way you can do what He's called you to do is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you and empower you to do it, because He knows how to do that. And the reason their joy was filled is because they're called out. They weren't here for a new car or a new job or a new guy or a new woman. They were here to fulfill their mission, and you are here to fulfill the mission to go and tell and get this Word of God out to this world. And when you are called and know it, and when the Holy Spirit comes and equips you, that is your joy. Your joy is not new roses or ice cream or a trip somewhere or somebody calling you. Your joy is to do the will of God who sent you. The only joy that everlasting is real for an elect is to be in God's perfect will. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen. Amen.
23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say it to you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you.
Okay, people take this verse out of context and says, see right here, if I ask Father in Jesus' name, I get the new job, I get the promotion, I get the guy, I get the girl, I get the soup, I get the roses, I get whatever. No, no, no. The subject is these men are going to get the gospel to the world and start the church here on earth. And so he says, what you need to get the church built, I will give it you. Our dear Pastor Murray, who's in heaven now, used to say, you build God's house, He'll provide the bricks. Now, I have learned that He'll give me the bricks, but I have to find the straw. I have to actually make the bricks. He'll give the raw material, but He's never failed me. If I need a new clock so I can see how to time this, in comes a clock. You may think that's silly, but no, anything that you need. He did not say He would give you a bed to sleep in or a shower. He did not say He would give you some new clothes. He did not say He'd give you promotion or lots of money in the bank. Whatever money you have, live in that, live in that, live on that, live on that, live on that, and then give and tithe, and you'll have enough anyway. So all he said was, what you need to do my work, I will give it you. See, they were going to need to travel. They were going to need animals to travel and food and everything. They had to go walk and everything. And whatever God has called you to do, He will supply that. He did not say He would give you the extras. But see, if you're an elect, you don't want that. I never asked for that. People were amazed. No, I just ask for what I need to get this word out, because that's what I'm supposed to do. Whatever I need, I ask. And do you know it comes? Hallelujah. Amen. It'll do the same thing for you if your heart is right, if your purpose and motivation is pure.
24. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name.
Well, they had not asked for anything for the ministry because Jesus was there in the flesh. And when they needed some food, He would just take a loaf and a fish and just multiply it. When they needed some money to pay their taxes, He would say, go catch a fish. And there'd be a gold coin in there. But now, He was not going to be there. So they were going to have to learn how to trust Him and operate by the Word of God with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to receive whatever they needed to do the work of God. And all of you are called to do that too.
Ask, and ye shall receive it.
Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Joy may be full. 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father.
What he means is the Holy Spirit, when we ask Him, I always ask Him, make this plain to me. He will flash it so clearly to you, the Word of God, or the direction you either take. He'll say, go this way, go that way, don't go that way, call that person, don't go there, do that. And if you are obedient to the slightest, it's not a strong voice, it's just a little nudge where your diaphragm kind of twists around. If you will obey, he will guide you every step of the way. Holy Spirit makes it very plain. Many, many times after I've studied Hebrew, Chaldean, Greek, and all my notes and all my tapes and everything else, and fasted and prayed, I will say there's something more to this verse than meets the eye. Holy Spirit, make it plain. And he will go flash, and one half of a split second, he will show me the whole picture. He'll do that for you if you want to truly share God's word with another person.
Six, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you.
Now, when Jesus went back, he went and sat at the right hand of God where he's living to make intercession for us, Romans 8. And so now we say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask, please, that you will give me a new recording of a piece of equipment for the ministry. So Jesus says, even before you ask for that, the Father, he's about to tell us, will already have it on the way. On a Sunday morning, I asked for a clock. On a Saturday night, before that, Scott went out and bought one. See, he says, before you call, I will answer. While I'm yet speaking, you'll hear. So Jesus says, even before you ask in my name what you need for the word of God, God already knows, and he doesn't even wait for me to say, Daddy, give her that, give him that. He'll give it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you call, I will answer. While I'm yet speaking, you'll hear. So what you need for the work of God is on the way. That's the dreams and visions we have. The promoter, the media ministry, it's on the way. It's coming. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 27, for the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me.
Well, the Father loves you because Jesus says the Father and I are one. What dad does not love someone who loves their son?
And have believed that I came out from God. 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father. 29, as his disciples said unto him, lo, now thou speakest unto us plainly.
He made it very clear, I'm about to leave, I'm going to the Father, then I'm going to come back. So they understand it now.
And speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and wouldest not that any man should ask thee, but this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. 31.
Now, they declared their belief that he was the Messiah right then and there. Now listen.
Answer them, do you now believe?
Do you really? Did you really mean that?
32. Behold, the hour cometh, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own.
The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. We remember that when they crucified Jesus, those disciples ran. Peter denied him thrice. And I say to the body of Christ, we the people of the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America, because the shepherd has been smitten, the sheep are scattered. We are divided. Paul says, have no schisms in the church. Schisms is denominations. Have no denominations, no division. You say, how we smite the shepherd? Everybody loves Jesus. The shepherd is, Jesus is the Word. John 1:1, the Word became flesh. We have smitten the Word. We have, as the psalmist says in Psalm 50, we have put it behind our back instead of in front of our eyes, and the Word is gone. And so the church, the sheep, you are scattered and divided. Let's exalt the shepherd, the Word of God again. Bring the Word of God back to we, the people, the Church of Jesus Christ in America, and we'll be whole again. We won't be lopsided and crippled and all, woe is me. We will be victorious, church. Beautiful, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo, praise the Lord.
To leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me.
Jesus was assuring himself. He knew that Peter and James and John, they were going to go to sleep on him, and he went to pray. There's nothing worse than when you're really facing a big spiritual thing and you want somebody to pray with you and they don't show up or they don't go to sleep on you. But Jesus says, the Father's with me. And I tell you, in those dry desert experiences in your life, hear me, body of Christ, the Lord Jesus will never leave you and he will never forsake you.
33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace.
Now he refers back to John 14, in my Father's house so many mansions. Remember, the word mansion, Greek, is mone, resting place, safe place, and Father's house is the word. So he says, stay in my word and you'll have peace. Now listen to what Jesus says here.
In the world you shall have tribulation.
You're going to have trouble in the world because, remember, the prince of the air is the devil here, and we're in foreign territory.
But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Jesus overcame the world. He came to destroy death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. And he gives you the same overcoming power. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, he says in Revelation.
John chapter 17, verse 1.
You might like to title this chapter, The Lord's Prayer. Now, I know some of you say, wait a minute, Matthew 6 is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, etc. Wait a minute. Matthew 6, the disciples had been seeing Jesus pray and come out of prayer with great power. See, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. That's where the anointing falls. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So he said, after this manner, here is a type. Here's an outline. He wasn't saying that our Father which art in heaven is the prayer. Call him Father, yes. And his name is Jesus. So Father in Jesus' name, yes. But this is an outline. I could take four of these Trumpet of Truth programs and teach that little prayer, that the model prayer. It's a teaching how to pray. That's what that is. Now, it's not wrong to pray that. I don't mean that. Our beautiful First Lady, Melania Trump, did that in Melbourne. And probably it was right for that crowd because we had non-believers and all kind of religions. But no, he was teaching them how to pray. Each one of those sentences has a meaning, and I have taught it and hopefully would teach it again. So now he's actually praying the Lord's Prayer.
These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee.
I'm about to pay the sin debt, Father.
Verse 2. As thou hast given me power over all flesh.
All flesh, in other words, to defeat death, whose name is the devil. You know what Jesus did right then? His flesh was going to die. So he said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to pick it up. Jesus right then pushed a button in the eternal heaven that he would arise from the dead. Amen. See, when God says you're dead, you're dead. So he said, I have overcome the flesh. I lay my life down. I have power to pick it up. He made it clear right then so he himself could arise from the dead. Got it?
Amen.
Beautiful.
That he should be given eternal life to as many as thou hast given him.
Now, what does Jesus mean that we can give eternal life to many as you have given me? Well, God the Father gave some of God's children to Jesus. Let's take a wedding. The preacher says, who gives this woman to be this man's wife? The father of the woman says, I do. When Satan rebelled in the world that then was, the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6, Luke 6, 14, and then in Revelation 12, Satan rebelled, and there was most of the children of God, minus the spirit, and minus the flesh, went after Satan. There was a small group there who were justified, Romans 8, who did not betray God. They stayed with God. They were God's. Everybody else then was not God's child. They were deleted. So only the elect were God's children in the spirit. So when God brought in the second earth age and brought Jesus, even before Jesus came, God said, Son, I give you this woman to be your wife. He uses the body of Christ, men and women, as the, in the female gender. Okay? And so what he did then, he before Jesus came, he sent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Samuel, and David, and Joshua. And then he sent Obadiah, and Jeremiah, and Isaiah. And then he sent John the Baptist. All of these were those elect, and he sent each one out to prepare the way. If you read the Bible, every one of those is important because the story of Jesus, that line comes through. And then while Jesus was there, he had Peter, James, and John, and then he has Paul. And now at the very end here, he's got the very elect. So, Jesus consoles himself and says, these are with me. At least I know I've got my bride. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is a love story. His story is a love story. And we'll begin right there next week. But right now it's time for a mystery moment. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great this week, Miss Sherry. How are you doing?
Just great, though.
That was an awesome, awesome delivery tonight. That is just a beautiful description.
Thank you. That was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it was. That was the Holy
Spirit.
Pouring out. It's pouring out of the vine. Okay, well, you have a couple questions here. The first one, somebody wants to know, can you please explain the terms bruised reed and smoking flax in Matthew 12:20?
Yes, it says about Jesus, it says a bruised reed he will not break and smoking flax he will not quench. Have you ever seen a bruised reed? It's already fragile. And one of those little reeds has fallen off. If you just touch it, it's going to break. Jesus says, when you have been crushed by the troubles of this world, and you're God's child through Jesus. He says, I'm not going to stomp you and break you. I'm going to pick you up and nurture you, and I will put you back together again, just like Humpty Dumpty. And what about the smoking flax? We have the kerosene lamp. You dip the wick in the kerosene, and there's this glass lampshade. But as the smoke goes up, it begins to darken the glass lampshade, so the light begins to flicker, and you let your light's going out. Remember Jesus told you to let your light shine. So if you trim the wick, if you're not very careful, you have to be so sensitive. If you just jostle it the wrong way, the light will go out. Jesus says, I will be so gentle in putting you back together and molding you back and restoring you and repairing you that your light's going to shine brighter than ever before. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Gentle Jesus. Well, you know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. And Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time now for, ta-da, Scott's stuff.
Okay. You shall be stripped of the flesh, humbled and crushed, anointed with my oil and fragrances as part of and a sign of this preparation in moving forward as the bride. Your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. My righteousness will walk before you, and my glory will be your rear ward.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Scott and I did not even get together on this. Did you hear everything he said there was the lesson tonight? The crushed and the light and the bruised. Oh, my goodness. God
Holy
is so
Spirit.
Good. Thank you, Scott Merson. That is so beautiful. Thank you, Scott Merson. Now, I want all of you to be saved. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You don't have time to mess around now. Let's just get saved, okay? This world's crazy, and everything's crazy. But only thing that's sane is God. So I want you to accept Jesus. Pray this with me, please, out there in cyberspace radio land, and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I ask you to forgive me for all my sins.
I ask you to forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
Use me
to get your word to the world.
To get your word to the world.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, and please feel free to call me and tell me you were saved. And while I'll get the message, when I get it, I will certainly pray for you. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask now, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. In the bronchial tubes, let all congestion disintegrate. In the lungs, let the congestion disintegrate. Flu and colds, you have no power. Loose these bodies in Jesus' mighty name. Sinuses, awaken, arise, open sinuses in Jesus' name. Adrenaline, be made right. Be at the right temperature, the right frequency, the right focus. Arthritis, be gone. Backbone, spine, central nervous system, vertebrae be healed. Pain be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Teeth be healed. Molars be healed. Gums be healed. Eyes see. Ears hear. Legs walk. Be healed in the name of the power. Oh, hallelujah, of Jesus. Arise. Take your bed and walk. And get up. Get up. Get up. And claim with Jesus' stripes I am healed. He said his word and healed me. Let's all say he sent his word and healed me. He sent his word and healed me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you might want to tell me that too. But it's time now for your love line of the week. From my heart to your heart. When you pray, remember that you are praying to Almighty God. It is not your cousin, and when you're talking to him, your cell phone rings, and you attend to that. You have the privilege of walking into the courts of heaven, into the throne room, and there is God smiling at you. Do not pray jibber-jabber. Don't go off on rabbit trails. You are talking to Almighty God. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he cares about you. But it's an emotional experience. You should be weeping some. You should be crying some. You're totally talking to him. You're not praying for anyone in the room to hear. It is a powerful time. The God of the universe, you have an audience with him. Revere it. Revere it. Revere it. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Wait for my announcer so you can call me. And I love you very much and God bless you. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Every day is a journal page. Every man holds a quill and ink. And there's plenty of room for writing in all we do and believe and think. So will you compose a curse, or will today bring the blessings? Fill the page with a rhyming verse, or some random sketching. Teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways. But somehow our souls forgot. Life means so much. Life means so much. Life means so much. Every day is a bank account, and time is our currency. No one's rich, nobody's poor. We get 24 hours each. So how are you gonna spend? Will you invest or squander? Try to get ahead or help someone who's under. Teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways.
Everything I see.
more than what I sing. Can I give you every part of me? And turn these pennies into gold. Take this life I call my own. Until I'm running after your heart. I'm needing to let go. To God.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big. Thank you.
place emotional. Try to hear a new word from God, and I think it's very odd that while I attempt to help myself, my Bible sits upon the shelf with every promise I could ever need. And the word was, and the word is, and the word will be. And the word was, and the word is, and the word will be. People are getting fit for truth like they're buying a new tailored suit. Does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? Throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more to meet our needs. The word was, and the word is, and the word will be. The word was, and the word is, and the word will be. And the word was, and the word is, and the word will be. But not crushed, perplexed, but don't despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are no longer slaves, we are daughters and sons. And when we are weak, we are very strong.